This is the Black and Blue Report presented by ABC Insurance Agencies, a better choice for insurance. Now from Studio B, or wherever the Saints or Pelicans might be, here's Sean Kelly.
Hey everybody, welcome into a winning Monday here on the Black and Blue Report. Our podcast comes to you from Studio B at the Oshkosh Sports Performance Center. I'm Sean Kelly, and yeah, pretty good weekend, huh? Pelicans winners on Saturday over the Cavaliers, and of course the Saints win their fifth straight of the season, knocking off the Chicago Bears yesterday 20-12 at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. As John DeShazer said yesterday on our Saints postgame show, I guess the Saints are now kings of the North because they did a nice job making their way through the NFC North, capped off by yesterday's win over the Chicago Bears. We're going to talk with JD here in just a moment, get his Monday morning reaction to the Saints win. Again, they win by 8 yesterday. A Marshawn Lattimore interception kind of sealed the deal. The offense got on the board first, taking advantage of a Bears penalty, and then played out in front the rest of the way. The Saints yesterday overcame a couple of turnovers, and also the fact that Drew Brees did not throw a touchdown pass, but yet got the job done. And congratulations to Drew, by the way. 6,000 career completions now, north of that, just the third quarterback to do so in NFL history, joining Brett Favre and Peyton Manning. So John DeShazer coming up here in just a moment. And then a bit later, we talk more about the Pelicans, who look to make it a clean sweep of these 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, when they host the Orlando Magic tonight. The Magic lost last night at Charlotte, so the Magic now 4-2. The Pelicans 3-3, tip off at 7 o'clock tonight. Daniel Salerson will talk with Dante Marcatelli from the Magic broadcast crew. That'll be in our third and final segment here today. Head coach Sean Payton had his Monday morning conference call a short time ago. He said that Kenny Vaccaro received a game ball for his performance yesterday, and Kenny's been playing very well all season long, but impactful plays yesterday. I can remember at least two tackles for loss that really came at a key time, and he is deserving, to say the least. Coach Payton talked about kind of the Monday morning video review. Here's what he saw after going through the entire game tape.
Well, first off, I thought some of the main things we had talked about as goals we accomplished, I thought we did a good job overall versus the running game. I thought our guys inside played well, defensive tackles. There were a few big plays given up. We misfit the long run early on. I thought offensively, Drew played well. I thought the ball was out a little too often for my liking, but we made enough plays in the passing game. The early points we mentioned yesterday we thought were significant. I thought the kicking game, we were outstanding, barring the last kickoff return by Chicago, but we changed field position. Thomas had one of his better games. So there's some encouraging things on the film, and yet we're kind of going through some of the things that we have to improve on.
And so now the Saints obviously will prepare for division play in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. Tampa Bay lost to Carolina yesterday. The Bucs seem to be reeling a little bit, and maybe this is a good time to catch them, and hopefully you keep them down for obvious reasons. We may see more of Willie Snead this week. We may see a little Delvin Bro too. Snead did not play a whole lot yesterday. He continues to get back into football shape and work his way into a team that has won 5 in a row. And Delvin Bro is now available. We'll see what's in store for those two. Head coach Sean Payton once again.
Well, I think like anything else, it's kind of happening with Willie Snead. It's just getting the physical, the cardio, all the football playing elements up to speed. I don't think he just flipped the switch and then bang, So I think the same thing's taking place right now with Willie. He got several snaps yesterday, not as many as probably we would have liked, and yet he's someone that we're going to need down the stretch. I think that same process will take place with Delvin.
So obviously coach sees it as a working situation there, obviously progression. That's a good thing. We'll talk more about that with John DeShazer here in just a bit. Saints winners, Pelicans winners, we're all winners, right? It's a Monday edition of the Black and Blue Report. Pelicans talk still to come. Up next, though, John DeShazer from NewOrleansSaints.com. breaking down yesterday's win and looking forward to the storylines of this new week.
In 1907, Dixie Beer was a balanced, refreshing lager, brewed with love and top-quality ingredients. It would grow to become something that connected us, the neighborhood beer of every New Orleans neighborhood. And now, Dixie is back to that 1907 recipe, original and reinvented, just like its hometown. Visit DixieBeer.com to learn more, and always drink Dixie responsibly. Dixie Brewing Company, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. Here's Sean Kelly and John DeShazer.
We heard some of head coach Sean Payton during our first segment, obviously here on this Monday morning following the Saints win. Now John DeShazer is in the studio B here at the Oshkosh Sports Performance Center. JD, great day yesterday. A win's a win, right?
Yeah, you don't look them in the mouth when you've been 7-9 previous three seasons, each one of them. So, no, you're not looking anything in the mouth now.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, continued prayers, please, for Zach Miller, the tight end for the Chicago Bears. It is a complicated and gruesome injury that he suffered yesterday at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Got a long road ahead of him. Hopefully, things are going well here today after what we understand to be surgical intervention last night, early this morning, something like that with him. That John, that is the ding on the action yesterday to see a guy go out with an injury like that. Otherwise, I think both teams would agree that it was a lot of fun other than that.
Yeah, I mean, those kinds of incidents weren't the rare times that they happened, but they obviously humanize everything. And yeah, you really just an awful thing to see, and certainly awful for Zach Miller and his career and his family. And you just want him to be able to, you know, from everything you hear, they're just trying to save the leg. So, yeah, you know, that tells you how dire it is. But, you know, game-wise, for the Saints, obviously, you know, not a great, great clean game, but again, a win. I mean, a couple of turnovers in the fourth quarter make it probably a little bit more interesting than it had to be. 2 of 9 on third down conversions is yucky, icky, and all those kinds of things. But you know what? One of the things that happens with a good team is you learn to win different styles of game. And so they've been able to win some different styles of game. They won a shootout with Detroit, and they won a couple of defensive battles. You know, they shut out Miami, and you know, they've been able to win despite some turnovers from the offense and despite this not being the traditional Saints offense that we're accustomed to. So, you know, it's a good thing to see that they've been able to adjust and still be able to win.
Yeah. Did anything that Coach Payton say today or even yesterday after the game surprise you in any way?
No, not really. I mean, I think he's probably a little bit more encouraged than he wants to let on, because, you know, you don't want everybody to be walking around like, you know, it's Wintersville and, you know, tossing confetti in the air. But you've got to be impressed and happy with the 5-game winning streak. Again, this team hadn't won 5 straight since 2013. So it's got to mean it's got to be something. I mean, if it was routine and happened every year, then it, you know, you kind of, you know, poo-poo it and downplay it. But, you know, this does not happen often. So you have to be pretty proud of it and appreciative of it if you're on this staff and on the roster.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up 2013, because the last time you won 5 straight, it was the playoff year. The last time you won a game where it was a grind like yesterday, less than 20 points. They did get to 20, obviously, late, but they almost won a game yesterday scoring less than 20 points. That would have been the first time since 2013. John, you can't help but start to draw some parallels here.
Well, I mean, certainly I think 2013 was the last time the Saints had an effective defense. The offense played better in 2013, obviously. This offense is still, you know, we're seeing some, you know, this team is still trying to work out some kinks. And after a while, you know, you stop saying they're working out kinks, and that's just what the offense is at some point. But now they have a defense that they can lean on. You don't have to, like, you know, be ashamed to have the defense on the field to try to finish out a game, which is exactly what happened yesterday. The defense finished out that game for the Saints yesterday. They gave up a couple of big plays, which is apt to happen in the NFL, but, you know, they were able to mitigate it, you know, gave up, you know, held Chicago to a couple of field goals a couple of times when it was critical. Gave up that late touchdown, but didn't give up the 2-point conversion. So, you know, they've got a defense that looks to be dependable. This is exactly what we thought we were seeing in training camp and in preseason. And then they go out against Minnesota, and Sam Bradford has one of the better days of his life, probably. And then they play against New England, and Tom Brady has a a Tom Brady day against you. And so you'll start looking around saying, okay, well, was that smoke and mirrors in the preseason or what happened? And now it seems to be that, you know, that was closer to what actually this defense was as opposed to those first two games when they caught a couple of guys who just lit them up.
Interesting that you bring that up. Well, this is a great tangent to run off on here a little bit. I was looking at the scores coming in yesterday, and then obviously the records change. And so Minnesota with their win, I think they're at 6-2 now. New England, I think, picked up their sixth win yesterday. So the two teams that you've lost to have as many wins as anybody else in the NFL right now at 6. So I took that and said, okay, well, now maybe makes a little more sense. And then Coach Payton made the comment yesterday about how his football team is going to have to be better against the upcoming better competition. So have the Saints simply just played to the back of the card, as you like to say sometimes, or, you know, have they taken enough steps to where when they do run into another quote-unquote Minnesota or New England, it'll be different than what you saw in the first 2 weeks?
Well, so to speak, I think they have played to the back of the card. I mean, they got Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. That was Brett Hundley making his first career NFL start. You get Chicago with Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback. He's making his fourth start ever in the NFL. You get Miami with Jay Cutler at quarterback, and they looked, I don't want to say disinterested, but they didn't look all that into the game in London. And you get Carolina with Cam Newton, certainly not the Cam Newton he was the next couple of weeks when I think he threw for 300-plus yards in both of those next two games, lit up Detroit as Carolina won at Detroit. So, yeah, somewhat you play to the back of the card, and yet these are games that the Saints didn't win the previous three seasons.
True.
So you kind of balance it out. And, again, and maybe that's why, you know, nobody is you know, running around celebrating, because, you know, they have beaten some teams that have been dinged up or a little bit lesser, that on paper you go into the game and say, well, the Saints probably ought to win this game. But winning those games gives you confidence that you can do it against better competition, because now you've done it, and now you feel like, okay, well, we've got a little something going. We know what's successful, so what's the difference between executing it against Chicago, or what's the difference executing it against Green Bay than it will be against Atlanta or Tampa Bay or, you know, Buffalo or something like
Buffalo,
that.
Yeah.
So you've got to build some confidence before you can, you know, face those teams, and you put a little change in the bank, because now you're 5-2, and, you know, if you do hit a rough patch, you've got something to fall back on.
Yeah, I'm not trying to rain on the parade. I'm also not trying to over.
Well, no, I mean,
you
got to be realistic about it. I mean, you can't do backflips over it. I mean, you know, there are certain situations that you can point to in all those wins and say, well, you know, even when the Saints beat Detroit, you know, Matthew Stafford was a little banged up. Golden State got knocked out of the game. No, Golden Tate got knocked out of that game. Detroit doesn't run the ball particularly well. And the Saints scored 3 defensive touchdowns in that game, which is something you probably can't count on every week.
Although they got more hands on the football again yesterday.
Yeah,
good for the defense right now.
Yeah, they're doing a great thing in terms of forcing turnovers. They've already got 9 interceptions this season in 7 games. They had 9 last season in 16. They had 9 in 16 games in 2015. So they already have as many interceptions, and they should be poised to get more. They're getting their hands on a ton of balls, and guys are making plays on the ball as opposed to, you know, having guys in position and not quite either forcing a turnover or getting their hand on the ball. They were just good enough to get beat as opposed to good enough to get the ball on the ground, or good enough to get the ball in their own hands now. So, you know, that's a huge turn of events.
How about Marshawn Island?
I'm not going
not
to
going
go
yet?
That yet.
Marshawn Lattimore's been really fun to watch.
Yeah, 5-6 games does not a legend make. and yet, you know, he's going to get some more chances to do some things, because Tampa's going to come in with a couple of knockout receivers, Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson. He's going to see some really good – when the Saints play the Falcons, they have that dude named Julio Jones who can play a little bit. So, you know, he's going to continue to be challenged throughout. And so far, you know, it hadn't looked like it's gone to his head, certainly. And when he's on the field, he's just making plays, man. He's a guy who he's tackled, he's covered, He's pass deflected. He's got a couple of interceptions on his resume. I mean, he looks like the real deal. Everybody said he was a top five pick, and somehow he slipped to the Saints at 11, and they jumped because obviously they needed a cornerback. And, man, he looks like the real deal. If he can stay healthy, knock wood, if he can stay healthy, because he had hamstring problems at Ohio State, and he had a little hamstring tenderness early with the Saints that they had to they had to massage and monitor a little bit. But so far, man, he looks to be every bit as good as advertised.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it, that's for sure. What are we going to be talking about this week heading into Tampa Bay?
Well, I mean, you got a division team. They've already played one division team, played Carolina and won that one. But you've got a Tampa Bay team that's struggling. And if you're the Saints, you want to keep them there. I mean, you start with the basics thing. You got to be able to take away the run. Doug Martin's back running the football for Tampa Bay, and he can give you problems. But if you take away the run and you put the ball in Jameis Winston's hands, and I know he's got a couple of fantastic receivers, but he's been fairly inconsistent, and that's what you're hoping if you're the Saints. Let's put the ball in his hands, and let's see what he can do. You know, if he gets on a hot streak, then you're going to have to live with it, but you got to take away something to force him into doing something, into being one-dimensional. And that way, as I think Coach Payton said it last week, you don't want to be in a situation where you got to defend everything. You got to be able to narrow it down to the certain few things that you have to defend, because if you're defending everything, you're going to be in trouble. And if you can't stop the run, you got to defend everything.
Yeah, good point. Delvin Bro, topic of conversation this week?
Yeah, he looks like he's going to be back. This is the week he's eligible to come back from reserve injury, be on the active roster. Coach Payton said on his conference call this morning that, you know, let's not get too ahead of ourselves. He's going to have to be worked back into the rotation, much like Willie Snead. We thought Willie Snead has been ready a couple of times, and yesterday he was completely healthy by his standards and by the team standards. He was full go in practice last week, and yet he probably had less than 10 snaps. I don't think he got a target. And, you know, you look at it and say, well, you know, and I think Coach Payton said this morning, look, it takes, you know, he's got to be ready, you know, in terms of cardio, and he's got to be ready, you know, football shape-wise and those kinds of things. So, you know, let's not assume that Delvin's going to get in and he's going to be back at cornerback starting, because, you know, we know Marshawn Lattimore's got one cornerback slot locked down. Well, Ken Crawley hadn't played his way out of the other one.
No, and it's worth noting, because whether it be Bro or Snead, look, you've won five in a row.
Yeah.
Do you want to mess with anything right now? It's hard to change.
Yeah, you don't all of a sudden say, well, you got a guy back, and let's just throw him in the mix here. Well, you'd also have one, as you mentioned, five in a row. And, again, hadn't done that since 2013.
Right.
Look, coaches and players are as superstitious as anybody on the face of the earth. And if you got a good thing going, you don't just want to throw a wrench into it just because.
Yeah, no, I think we'll see them at some point.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Delvin was inactive this week, because he hadn't played in quite some time, and they're doing pretty well in his absence. So, break glass in case of emergency or something. You really can kind of store him and have him inactive for, you know, another kind of a week or two until you really feel good about where he is in his comeback.
Yeah, it's gotten to a place where actually you've got some depth. I mean, Kakaha again was inactive this past week.
A healthy scratch.
And don't think for a second if one of those other guys get nicked up, they don't feel good about reinserting him in. So, yeah. I mean, we've reached this place here with regard to the Saints that we haven't seen in some time. There are some luxuries here.
Well, I mean, think about it. We reached a point where this point last year and maybe the previous 2 years before that, if a key guy went down, the defense pretty much went to pot. I mean, it was, you know, you couldn't afford to, you know, we saw the absence of Delvin Bro last year and what it meant. And when PJ Williams got hurt too, both starting cornerbacks were out. And it was like, oh my goodness, what happened and what else could go wrong with this defense? But now they can weather the storm of losing a guy or two. Now, you know, losing a Cam Jordan is going to be different, obviously, if you lost him. Or the way Kenny Vaccaro is playing right now, if he doesn't go to the Pro Bowl, or if he isn't an All-Pro, then something ain't right with the system. Because Kenny Vaccaro is playing as well as you can possibly play at that position.
Yeah.
So, you've got a couple of guys who are untouchables, but you got the same thing on offense. If you lose a Drew Brees, what happens? So, you know,
that's
anybody
in the league.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you've got a couple of those guys. But for the most part, this is as much depth as we've seen the Saints have in a long time on defense.
All right. Saints back to work on Wednesday, getting ready for another Sunday home game at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Good talk. I'll see you tonight on the radio. Pelicans and Magic tonight.
Yeah, Pels have won 3 out of 4, looking for 4 out of 5, looking for 3 in a row.
Looking for a winning record,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, looking for a winning record. Yes. I mean, all kinds of good stuff. And man, let's boogie, because Boogie Cousins is just killing it. He's phenomenal.
He's phenomenal. The MVP of first 2 weeks.
If
he doesn't get player of the week,
We saw him with Sacramento, and you know, you see him, you know, hot-headed and blow up, but underneath all that, when he was playing, you'd be like, man, he can do some things that you just can't account for defensively. And now to have him on the team and see him doing those things routinely, it's like, yeah, that's your problem, you know, Western Conference. That's your problem, Eastern Conference, because, you know, that big boy, when he's focused, he can do it.
Yeah, getting to see him now on a daily basis, I truly now appreciate what kind of a talent he is. Really, really. And it'll be fun. Orlando is good, man. They are good.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Daniel Salerson coming up in just a moment. He will be previewing the Orlando Magic with his good friend Dante Marcatelli from the Orlando Magic broadcast crew. So we'll learn more about the Magic tonight, and we'll turn our attention to the Pelicans and the Magic matchup when we continue.
What is big? Big is a ballin', shot-callin', gravity-defying offense and a lockdown defense. Big is you and your posse getting loud and proud. Big is an insatiable appetite for winning. Come see the Pels post up against Blake Griffin in the Los Angeles Clippers Saturday, November 11th at the Smoothie King Center. Visit Pelicans.com for tickets. New Orleans Pelicans, do it big.
It's Pelicans game day. This is the Black and Blue Report.
The Pelicans continue their 3-game homestand against the Orlando Magic. To help us preview tonight's game, I welcome in my good friend Dante Marcatelli, sideline reporter for the Orlando Magic on Fox Sports Florida. Dante, always a pleasure talking to you, my friend.
Likewise, my friend. So you do everything. You do internet, you do podcasts, you do live play-by-play, you do a little bit. You're on television now, I see on Twitter. You're all over the place.
That's why they pay me the little bucks, Dante. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's why. When you first came here, all you did was make coffee for everybody. That's what you did. That's what you did. Now you're all over every platform possible. We're happy for you.
And it wasn't even good coffee, correct?
It was very bad. Some of the worst coffee I've ever had.
Yeah, I think that's why I was gone after 1 year. So, but we digress here on this Monday.
That's right.
Dante, it's kind of like Ricky Bobby and also Joe Madden said, I mean no disrespect. And since I say that, I can say anything I want, but man, your Magic are 4-2. Who would have thunk it, huh?
I know. No offense taken. No, you're right. It's been a rough couple of years. I think we all know that this thing didn't go the last 5 years like we'd hoped. And unfortunately, the rebuild kind of set things back. But you didn't know at the end of last year where this team was going to be offensively. They were 29th in field goal, 29th in three-point percentage, 29th and 28th in field goal percentage. And now they're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league, second in three-point percentage and fourth in field goal percentage. So all of a sudden, this team has found some sort of offensive explosion. And they've done it by sharing the basketball. And it sounds simple, and it's something that Frank has been preaching for a year, but they've really bought in and made a concerted effort to move the basketball, move opposing defenses, and be unselfish. They're playing for each other and not themselves this year, which is a lot of fun to watch. And they don't care who gets the glory, who gets the credit. They just want to get to a point where they can win games. And I think, Daniel, that's the thing. And you know, to some extent, outside prognosticators will look and say, okay, they only have such, you know, they only have these players, they only have these stats for the last few years. But what you can't measure is when a guy or a team gets tired of losing. Mm-hmm. That's an intangible thing that you can't tell. And I think that's what we're seeing with this group. They're not happy with the way things have gone the last few years, and they're doing it by all means possible to try and turn things around.
I think the Magic and the Pelicans are in the very same boat, that's for sure. We all know what kind of athlete Aaron Gordon is, but I didn't really know what type of player he was going to be through his first 2 years in the league. But, man, through six games, Dante, he's shown us that he can really play. What's been different about him this year? Even though it's only been six games, he's been playing really well so far.
Well, I think he'll tell you he put a lot of pressure on himself the last 3 years, right? He wanted to come in and prove that he was the fourth overall pick, and I think he felt he had to do too much, and he was forcing things. And now he's been much more relaxed. He's letting the game come to him. He still has moments where he'll over dribble or maybe try to force it a little bit too much, but it comes from a good place. It just comes from him instead of saying, "Hey, I haven't touched it in 2 or 3 minutes, I'm going to get shot up." Regardless, it's okay. Well, I have an opportunity here to score. I know I can beat this man off the dribble, or I know I can get to this spot on the elbow and get a little fall-away jumper. And so now it's within the flow of the offense, and he's not forcing it. And I think that's been the different thing. And he's worked very hard on his jumper. Last year was exclusively ball handling and three-point shooting. That's what he worked on last summer because the Magic were going to play him at the three with Serge Ibaka. Then I think the last 24 games of last year when they traded Ibaka and he shifted to the four, in today's NBA, as you know, that's kind of the way it's going and has been for a couple of years. And he was able to take those last 24 games, build confidence, go into the summer, work on his jump shot a little bit more, and he's playing with tremendous confidence, shooting the basketball, and again, not forcing it. And that's allowed him to have the start to the season that he's had.
How big has the addition of Jonathan Simmons been for you guys?
Huge. Absolutely huge. You guys know how great it is to have somebody in the locker room that, I mean, you want to have good guys, and he's a great guy. He's a phenomenal guy, but he's got an edge. And have somebody in that locker room that's not afraid to get on guys, not afraid to lead, to be vocal, to talk. And I think that's a piece that had been missing from this team the last couple of years. This is a guy that's going to get after it. He'll guard anybody on the floor. He doesn't care. He brings it every single night defensively. Guys hate being guarded by him because, I mean, he's on him. He's reaching. He's touching him. He's physical. He keeps him away from the basket. So I think that's been a huge addition just on that, the leadership, the how vocal he is, and his defense. Well, now he's scoring. I mean, he got 27 points, a career high last night. He's playing with tremendous confidence on that end of the floor. He wanted a bigger role in San Antonio. He thought he could handle it. He thought he had earned it and thought he could be more of a scorer for them. And San Antonio didn't really see it that way. I personally think they didn't think he would leave, and he got a better opportunity, and he took it. And I'm telling you, I honestly think that's one of the biggest steals of any team this summer, was the Magic landing Jonathan Simmons. Not only with his play, what he adds defensively, and that scoring punch, and how much he's anchoring that second unit, but just how much this guy means to the locker room, and how he's kind of changed the whole dynamic and culture of this thing. So that has been as big a change as anything this past summer.
Elfrid Payton has been ruled out tonight and has only played in two games for you guys so far. Who's had to step up in his absence?
Well, DJ has been phenomenal. A New Orleans native, New Orleans and Houston, and he's been phenomenal. Struggled last night mightily. That was his toughest game of the season. That was just 0-7 from the floor, and Kemba Walker got anywhere he wanted. So certainly a forgettable performance for him last night. He'll be looking to bounce back, but he's been the guy that's been setting the tone. With his ability to knock down the three, it provides spacing, and everybody's kind of been able to beat their man one-on-one. The ball has been moving, and you got to respect him shooting that three. So that he's been a huge catalyst, and Shelvin Mack has done a great job anchoring that second unit as well. So that's been a big part of it. And Simmons as well. Simmons handles the ball a lot too, and he'll get out and transition. And, Elfrid's the best at the team as far as pushing the pace, getting guys out, hitting them in passing lanes, that up-tempo offense. But DJ's done a phenomenal job of that, and he adds the ability to knock down that three. So I think he takes a lot of credit for that. I think Evan Fournier's been handling the ball well. He's off to a career year, 22 points a game. So there's been a few guys that have kind of picked up that slack, against Simmons and Mack. But you hope to get EP back. He's tremendous in the open floor, and he's worked incredibly hard on the defensive end. That's where he struggled mightily the last couple of years. So it certainly miss not having him out there. But a lot of guys have filled in, and they're playing with great confidence right now, Dan. I think that's the big thing. They're moving the basketball. They're shooting it with confidence. and they honestly feel going into any arena they can win.
Dante, I'm no expert, but I feel like tonight might come down to the front court play of both teams. What will be key for the Magic tonight?
Well, I think as long as they don't try to do too much, they continue to move the basketball. That's when they get in trouble and they try to do one-on-one. If New Orleans ramps up their defense and they can't make that extra pass as easily, they don't trust the pass, they can get away from it a little bit, and they try to put their head down, go one-on-one, and go to the rim, and it doesn't stand it under there, that's going to be a problem. So I think that's number one. You got to continue to trust your teammates and move the basketball. And we have got to find a way to keep Cousins and Davis from scoring in the paint. This team gave up 66 point paints last night to the Charlotte Hornets. And I know Dwight Howard is a big reason for that, but Kemba Walker got wherever he wanted. Jrue Holiday has that ability. He can handle the basketball. Jameer will be looking to attack here tonight, but predominantly trying to find a way to keep Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins from scoring in the paint at will and not getting second-chance opportunities. They second-chance points killed Orlando last night as well. So I think those are going to be some of the key areas. The Magic have struggled defensively. They made strides going into last night's game, kind of took a step back. As Kemba Walker just had a phenomenal night. But as is the key for most teams, just trying to figure out what the heck to do with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins.
It's a tough task, that's for sure, but it should be a good one tonight at the Smoothie King Center. That's Dante Marcatelli, sideline reporter for the Orlando Magic on Fox Sports Florida. Dante, I'll see you at the arena tonight. Stay out of trouble today. I know you're a Bourbon Street guy, so kind of lay low before the game, all right?
I'm going to try to lay low. Good. Thankfully, it was a back-to-back, so we didn't get to do anything last night. But what smoothie should I get tonight? Can you answer me that in the Smoothie King Center? What's the go-to for you?
I'm a Gladiator guy, so I would go Chocolate Gladiator. That's just my thoughts, though.
Done. See you tonight.
All right, that's Dante Marcatelli. From Fox Sports Florida, Sean, back to you.
All right, Daniel, thank you very much. We'll look forward to tonight, 7 o'clock tip-off at the Smoothie King Center. Coverage, of course, on the Pelicans Radio Network. Fox Sports New Orleans will have the TV side, Joel Myers, David Wesley, and Jennifer Hill tonight, again, with coverage, pregame coverage at 6:30, tip-off at 7, and then the homestand will conclude for the Pelicans on Wednesday. Gosh, the idea of seeing these guys get off to a good start with the difficult schedule that was laid out, the Rondo injury and everything else, to see them with a winning record for the first time, it's been over 2 years now. So I think there'll be a reward. I think it will propel them even further. It doesn't get easy. Certainly there's a big long road trip coming up again against some teams that you've struggled with at their place. But you've got to kind of keep the momentum going tonight against an Orlando Magic team, as Daniel and Dante pointed out, have done some nice things here in their first 6 games, despite losing last night's basketball game. So we'll see you on the radio tonight. Hopefully you'll get a chance to take the ball game in somehow, some way. I think the World Series takes a night off tonight, so you won't have to worry about staying up until like 1 o'clock in the morning to see the end of a World Series game. So just take in your Pelicans tonight. There's also a pretty darn good Monday Night Football game too, Denver and Kansas City. That's always very enjoyable when those two teams meet up in what basically is a rivalry game. So that'll be good to watch as well. And then we'll be back with you on Wednesday for our midweek edition of the Black and Blue Report. We'll be previewing the end of the Pelicans' homestand and obviously jumping into Tampa week here with the Saints in earnest on Wednesday. Thanks again to John DeShazer. Appreciate those who helped put together our sound bites from head coach Sean Payton today. And, of course, Dante Marcatelli and Daniel Salerson. Previewing tonight's Pelicans and Magic matchup. Go Pels. That'd be great. How about that? Win Saturday, Saints on Sunday, win tonight. That'd be a way to get going here as we end October. Happy Halloween, by the way. Daniel, you dressing up? No. Fair enough. All right. With that, we'll say goodbye on this Monday. I'm Sean Kelly. Enjoy.